It was a beautiful late summer afternoon. One of those days when you can feel autumn is just around the corner. And we found ourselves with a little bit of extra time on the college campus. My husband and I were moving our oldest son into Boston College and had been attending parent orientation and other activities during the day. But we now had a short break and we were walking around the campus getting our bearings, exploring this new place that our son would soon call school. And as we walked around the stone Gothic buildings, we came to an open archway that led us into this luscious green lawn. And in the middle of the lawn was a large stone statue. We had to walk around the statue to see who it was, and then we burst into laughter. Here was this large, maybe 10 or 12 foot tall statue of St. Ignatius. Boston College is a Jesuit university. And he was standing up there with his arms outstretched like this, sort of one reaching out to the world and one next to his side. And in his outstretched hand, someone, I'm assuming a college student, had placed a can of Bud Light beer in it. He just genuinely looked like he was offering beer to any college student who happened to be walking by, and it made us laugh. Being raised an Episcopalian, I had not had much introduction to St. Ignatius before I attended seminary. But when I was attending CDSP, the Episcopal Seminary in Berkeley, I took several classes at the Jesuit seminary. The classes I took were on iconography, art, particularly on art. And they were fascinating, and I developed a new appreciation for the ways that sacred art was a way for people to express their spiritual understanding and views of the world outside the channels that the church was allowing. There was much freedom in this kind of art. And then our son went off and attended Jesuit college and received an amazing education. We particularly appreciated the Jesuit hope that each student would go out into the world and make the place a better place than the way they had found it. Our son particularly enjoyed a couple of classes when he was there. One was a chaplaincy program, and the other was a class of mentors. Both were led by Episcopal women clergy. It made my heart sing. My third contact with St. Ignatius has been with my spiritual director. She often uses Ignatius' spiritual rules as we're discussing issues and experiences that I'm having. She will tell me, "Whitney, that is not God." She is wise and compassionate. We've been meeting for several years. She's often my sounding board, serves as a reflection for my feelings, and often points me to things that I know deeply, but sometimes forget to see. And her reference to something not being God is my reminder of Ignatius' writings about consolation and desolation. Ignatius wrote about spiritual rules, and he wrote about when our soul is inflamed with love for our Creator. These are moments of consolation. Times when we have a darkness in our soul are times of desolation. It is sort of those times when we turn towards God, think of your face being warmed by the sun, that would be consolation, and times when we are turned away from God, moments in the shadows when you might feel cold. These rules or practices have particularly resonated with me, as Ignatius often writes of understanding God through our feelings, particularly those deep feelings that we have, that we feel in our body, those feelings that are beyond the happy and the sad, but more about elation and our heart lifting, or despair and feelings of abandonment. And as much as we would prefer to be in those moments of consolation, Ignatius assures us that we will find ourselves regularly in desolation because we are humans. This state of desolation is what the author is addressing today in the letter to the Ephesians. Now, I have to admit, the language of soldiers and warfare does not really resonate with me. But as I have sat longer with this reading, certain things have felt more familiar to me. Aside from the equipment that is listed, that I'll come back to in just a moment, I have been thinking about the phrasing that the author uses regarding who the struggle involves. It is not against enemies of blood and flesh, i.e. humanity, but rather spiritual forces of evil. So what are spiritual forces of evil? The author goes on to describe wearing the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. This will enable us to stand firm, to protect ourselves from the spiritual forces of evil. And interestingly, all of these pieces, aside from the sword, are meant to protect us. They aren't used for attacking the enemy, but rather to protect us from the enemy. So what are we trying to protect ourselves from? I think it's what Ignatius tells us about, desolation. It is when we have self-doubt or we act against self-compassion. Ignatius describes it as when we move to low and earthly things, moving towards lack of confidence, moving without hope, without love, feeling separated from one's creator. Our very thoughts come from different sources when we are in desolation. We might feel confusion or discouragement. We might second guess ourselves. We might feel restless or agitated. We have stress, worry, maybe we're bored or feeling drained. It affects our actions. We're drawn towards emptiness, empty trivia, empty media, empty busyness, empty conversation. And we feel abandoned by God. But the writer of Ephesians and St. Ignatius tells us that God has given us tools to bring us out of desolation and back to consolation. This is where God wants us to be. The belt of truth, so that we know that our diversions into media, etc., will not show us the answers that we need. They will not give us the sense of direction that we yearn for. Only truth will bring us the sense of being grounded and draw us closer to God. The breastplate of righteousness protects our heart and our soul from the waves of self-doubt that can consume us. It keeps us from the second guessing. Did I do that right? It gives us an increased strength to love and to offer grace to others. And it draws us closer to God. The shoes of peace grant us the ability to walk away from unnecessary conflict and drama, to leave behind temptations of control and power. It gives us the opportunity to move towards joy, and it draws us closer to God. And the helmet of salvation protects our thoughts when they begin to fall down that dark pit of stress and anxiety and worry. And the problems seem bigger than we can possibly solve. But when we have the helmet to protect our thoughts, we find moments of clarity. Moments when we can see the connection between humanity and creation. When we can catch a glimpse of God's great plan for us. When we find energy and hope and our heart feels lifted, it draws us closer to God. The author of Ephesians, as well as St. Ignatius, recognized that there will be times of desolation. That is what being human is all about. But the author reminds us to stay alert and to always persevere in supplication for all the saints. In other words, to pray. Pray for each other, pray for your own needs, pray for the world's needs. It is in prayer that we are drawing closer to God, being in those moments of consolation, fighting the spiritual forces of evil, and feeling the warmth of the sun on our faces, the love of God. And as my spiritual director would remind us, those other moments of shadows and confusion, that is not God. God is not trying to punish us or hurt us. God has not abandoned us. Rather, because of our human nature, we make choices. And sometimes those choices turn us away from God. But God has given us these tools, these signposts, ways to defend ourselves and to find our way from desolation back to consolation. To feel the sun on our face once again and to draw ourselves closer to God. Amen.